Congregation, there can be times in life, the life of God's people, that God feels distant, that you don't see, or so it seems, that God is not working, that you are discouraged. Yeah, even when we heard this morning Christ's own promise, I am with you, and that promise is sure and certain, Christ's own word, and comfort in life's journey. But there are also times spiritually, times of lack of assurance, times of doubts, past experiences, the life is out of it. Will the Lord cast off forever? Practical level, parents, when you see your children wandering, seemingly aimless, without a purpose, much anxiety going through life. Maybe it is you here tonight. There were times that you could sing of the mercies of the Lord, but now it is. Is his mercy gone forever? It seems he does not hear. Friends, that are questions. In short, that is a season or a time in your life of spiritual dryness. Life seems to be a wilderness. How do you come through such a time? Can you still follow me? Because it is tempting to give an whole list of reasons. But you know, when you go through such a time, when it feels that the Lord does not hear your prayers, it seems that he does not see your pain, or your hurt, or your frustrations. It seems that the Lord is distant, or refusing to remove your struggles or change your circumstances. And sometimes that we come to a place where you don't know even what to pray anymore. Scripture, you open it and it seems empty of meaning. Congregation, there are times that it feels that God is missing. That is what's going on in this psalm. Experiencing a missing of God's presence. And missing his presence is a wilderness experience. Where are you this evening? And maybe times in life that you can testify you came to this sanctuary, this church, seeking the Lord at work, his power and his glory, as we have read from Psalm 63, verse 2. Or with the psalmist in 66, that you could testify, come and see the works of God, make a joyful noise unto the God, praise and you sing of him. But now, you say, O God, I am in a dry and thirsty land. And you go through the motions. Church life is not experienced as it was before. And it seems that the Lord does not know our need. Sermons, they don't touch me. Look, moralism reads and explains this Psalm 63. I seek the Lord, I thirst for him, I long for him, I bless him, I remember him, I rejoice, I, what I must do. And then I experience his love and help. But friends, the gospel tonight is, because of thy loving kindness, verse 3, as I have seen in the sanctuary, that is remembered. even in the wilderness. The sanctuary, his presence is remembered, even in times of spiritual dryness, the wilderness of life. Secondly, because of thou hast been my help, verse 7. And therefore I will rejoice, and therefore early will I seek thee, and therefore my soul thirsts for thee, my flesh longs for thee. When you miss his presence, it is a wilderness. Is it not? Wilderness is an experience like an uninhabited, inhospitable place. Place seemed to be of disfavor, a place of neglect. But congregation in the wilderness is also a place that removes the distractions of life, a place which tests the heart, and also a place where the heart comes to rest. A spiritual wilderness is what you read, for example, in Psalm 61, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. And it seems no one, even God, does not hear. Psalm 62, my soul wait, longs for God, and it seems the wait is so long. Or what we experience in Psalm 63, I'm a dry and thirsty land and no water. And your soul thirsts, longs for the living water. Where are you this night? How is your life? Maybe it is in a holding pattern, like a plane in the air approaching the busy airport and circle and circle. Or more personal, it seems that you have become used to the spiritual dryness in your life. How is your spiritual life, friends? If there is spiritual life in you. Verse 11, the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. That is outwardly, maybe church going, but no need of Christ. Your life is a lie. It shall be stopped sooner or later. How is your spiritual life? When you cannot deny by grace, O God, thou art my God. Let us then briefly meditate with the help of the Lord on this brief psalm of 11 verses, so that each of us, regardless where you are in life, I don't know you as a congregation, whatever you have brought into church also this night, what is going on in your life, so that each of us may leave this place for this new week and may testify, O God, thou art my God, because in the first place, thy loving kindness, verse 3, but also, thou hast been my help, in the second place, verse 7. Or young people, in a contemporary language, O God, you are my God, because you are my steadfast love, and you have been my help. First then, his loving kindness. Three aspects: what it is, why it is, and how his loving kindness ought to transform us. Congregation, the word used here in the original language for loving kindness is gesed. It's Hebrew. Thank you, Bill. Gesed, that speaks of God's character, who he is, his unfailing love, his steadfast love, his favor, his faithful love, his gracious love, his goodness, his kindness, in general, attending to the needs of his creatures, you and me, us. And we just confess that with the words this night with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Which meaning we also confess with the words of the Heidelberg Catechism that his almighty and ever-present power, whereby as with his hand, he still upholds you. Heaven and earth and all creatures, and so covers them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, wilderness times, when life seems a desert. Yes, that also food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, indeed all things. That's what we confess, come to us not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. That is his loving kindness to you and me. Undeserved. Undeserved. And yet the Lord attests in Micah that he delights in loving kindness. Who is a God like unto thee? That pardons iniquity, that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage. He retains not his anger forever, but he delights in gesed, in mercy, in kindness. Or with the words of Psalm 130, let Israel hope for the Lord, for, and that is who he is, for with the Lord there is mercy, and in him, with him, there's plenteous redemption. What we sung, glorious grace, plenteous redemption. Friends, the loving kindness of the Lord is abundant, is good, is great in extent, is everlasting. Abundant, Psalm 86, for example, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, plenteous in mercy and truth, and he has neither dealt with us nor rewarded us according to our sin. Abundant in loving kindness. Not rewarded according to our sins. The loving kindness of God is good. Psalm 109, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good. Great in extent, the earth is full of gesed, of the goodness of the Lord, says Psalm 33. And it is everlasting. As Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, let the house of Aaron now say, let them now, says the psalmist, that fear the Lord. If you cannot deny his grace, also here tonight, when you have received a place here at the table of the covenant, let them that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever and ever. Congregation, it is the loving kindness of the Lord who he is, and that for whom? For in people like you and me, by nature, fallen people, sinners, young people, young adults, and for all of us, not in general or abstract terms, but in reality in your life that you cannot escape. I am a sinner before God. Do we still know this language? And yet in his loving kindness, in his general care, concern for each of us, he walks after us, he provides for us, he cares for us in every way, for every need. Personally, as families, in your business. Pause for a moment this evening and see the undeserved loving kindness of the Lord to you. What more? His loving kindness is especially shown in the word of salvation. When it pleased the Father to send his only and beloved Son, Christ, to this world, for a people like you and me. When you have encountered your sin, that is his grace, his loving kindness in your life. Maybe that time when you pleaded and plead with the Lord, Psalm 25, I remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgression, according to thy mercy, to thy chesed, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord. Did you ever pray this? Is it not loving kindness? That is making one from death to life and keeping alive. The psalmist in 119, revive me according to thy loving kindness. He draws to himself through his loving kindness with cords of love. Congregation, friends, we did not deserve anything. And yet he shows mercy, loving kindness to thousands. As we hear Sunday after Sunday from Exodus 20. Then it is in his loving kindness that he brought you to church this night. And he reminds us through his word who he is and wants to be for sinners, for such you and me. Who he will be and is for each of his children. Now why is that? Because there is anything in us, any merit that we deserve, his kindness. Because I seek him early, speaking with the words of the Psalmist 63. Because I thirst for him, long for him, because I remember him, meditate him, verse 6. Congregation, that is often what legalism is. If I seek him and long for him, then I experience that conditional gospel, which is no gospel. Or when I seek him earnestly and when I really need to long for him, only then maybe I can experience his steadfast love. Friends, the good and gracious gospel, unconditional, free gospel, is this evening. What Horatius Bonar once wrote, not the labor of my hands can fulfill thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All could never sin erase. Thou must save, and save by grace. Nothing in my hands I can bring. You know this place? Coming at the foot of the cross, where God's loving kindness is most displayed. With Christ on the cross who called out, I thirst, so that you can thirst after him. And echo with the words of Psalm 42, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And therefore the invitation goes out this night. Even now, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Christ, who was given vinegar, so that you, being in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so that you can receive the living water, Christ who invites again, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And he says to you, no, to everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Christ, whose body, his flesh was broken, so that your flesh can long for him. Even when you have to say, my flesh and my heart faileth, but O wonder of grace, only and because of Christ, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Christ, whose soul was exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death, so that your soul can thirst after him, even in times that you have to experience, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou so disquieted within me? But because of Christ and his finished and complete work, tell and address your struggling soul, hope in God, for he is the health of my countenance and my God. And then it is Christ who left a place of glory, so that you may see with the psalmist in verse 2, that you may see his glory, so that you can leave this place and leave church again, and that you may testify, we have seen Jesus in the wilderness, having experienced with the words of Hosea, I, says the Lord, will allure her and will bring her into the wilderness. And there in the wilderness, I will speak comfortably unto her. Do you? That is who the Lord is, in his loving kindness. Should Christ, who he is, for such one as you are, what he has accomplished, what you and I never could and can do, or that not to transform him, us, to seek him early, to thirst after him again, and to long for him because of his loving kindness? 2 miles shall you go when you are in a dry and thirsty land, in a wilderness of life, and God seems so distant? Here is one, Christ himself, Christ who urges you kindly, graciously, generously, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let him who is athirst come. And whosoever, no one excluded, eh? Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. O God, thou art my God, because of his loving kindness in Christ. O friends, is it not humbling? Hopeful? Oh yes, even in the wilderness of life, that you can sing, thy loving kindness is better than life, and my life shall praise thee. Oh, to learn by grace, the wilderness is so often God's way to wean us from the most precious things in this world and to rest in him and in him alone. Shall you not forget it this week? Maybe a busy week, to rest and lean on him. Our second thought, O God, you are my God because his help. And again, what it is, why it is, and how his help ought to transform us. Because we read in verse 7, because thou hast been my help. What is meant by help? Well, help points to be assisted by someone else, to be supported by another. Congregation, it shows us our need, our helplessness, that we are vulnerable, our weakness, in need of another. When the cry in the heart is at times, the experience of the psalmist, maybe your experience, Psalm 22, why art thou so far from helping me? Can be an experience in the wilderness, and it seems no one helps. Psalm 27, hide not thy face from him. You long for his presence, but when you see one's face, you are in his or her presence. Maybe it is your prayer, hear me, O God, have mercy, be thou my help, and make haste to to help me, O Lord. Or if the words of Psalm 40, think upon me, it's the only thing that you can say. Think upon, thou art my help and my deliverer. Why is that cry in the heart? Is it not an echo of Christ's own work applied in your heart by the Spirit? Because of Christ, when he was on the cross and he cried out, oh, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? When he experienced there was none to help. So that you, by grace, may experience his help and presence. A very help in trouble. Blessed are those whose help is in the God of Jacob. Jacob's, those in need. He is their help. He is their help and shield. That is sure and certain. Maybe you have to be reminded on this evening. Because note, even in the wilderness, the psalmist remembers that the Lord has been his help. Verse 6, I remember. Verse 7, thou hast been my help. Something that he remembers from the past. Verse 2, I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Maybe you recognize this. You lay in bed in the evening and you meditate. You think things over, you reflect. In times when you think and experience, where is God in all of this? And you lay awake at night. Verse 6, psalmist, missing God's presence. And you travel the memory lane. You cannot deny the Lord's work in your life. But that was the past. You cannot deny that there were times in your life that you really seeking him, thirsted after him, longed for him. But if I would ask you tonight, between your soul and the Lord, has he been your help? Has he been your help? When you cry to him in distress, hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Did he not answer you? When looking back in your life, that you may say, despite who I am before him and ought to be, can you not testify this night, he has never left me nor forsaken me. This I may say by grace, the Lord is my helper. Has he not been your help? Experienced, I am poor and needy. Yet, the Lord thinks upon me. Thou art my help. To whom else shall you then go in a dry and thirsty land? Thy right hand upholds me. Verse 8. That is his help. That is your only hope and help. He upholds me, sustains you, carries you, even now. Oh, fear then not, says the Lord. I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Oh, God, thou art my God. Are you not joining the psalmist? Humbling is it not, eh? In the midst of the wilderness. And maybe you came to church this night with all your cares. Maybe marriage challenges. Maybe anxiety in your young life. Maybe disappointment and concerns that you have to deal in your life. And you came this night, and be very honest, when your life is overwhelmed and you're not seeking and you're not longing and you're not thirsty for him, and then to hear from the living God, through his living word, I help you, seek me, thou I'll be found. Then this Lord says, I uphold you, so that you long for me again, so that you may say afresh, I have longed for thy salvation, Lord, and thy word is my delight. I am the living water, says this Savior, this substitute, this living Christ, so that you thirst not after the things of the here and now, but after me again. O God, thou art my God. And therefore, I will seek him early in the morning. Young people, young parents, set time aside for your devotions and prayer, seeking him. And that is just very different than picking up your phone the first thing and check your messages. When Martin Luther knew that he had a busy day ahead of him, he prayed an hour longer. Spend time in scripture. Hey, young people, when you want to know someone better, you want to be in his or her presence. Well, so it is with the Lord. He will meet you graciously through his word, meeting him in scripture, so that you are more acquainted with him. And personally, to know him more, through his word and work, and getting to know yourself more, so that your need of him is more and more. And congregation, it is personal tonight. Our text says, my God. My God. And pause for a moment and realize this, his word. My God. The creator of the universe, for whom nothing is too small or too little. This great and awesome God. My God in Christ, my Redeemer. My God that is to experience. He is my rock, my refuge, my fortress, my deliverer, my strength. That is his offer to you this night, regardless where you are in life. I want to be your God, says this Lord, because of my loving kindness in Christ, because of his help for Christ's sake. He is present, and you may experience his presence even now. And he meets you in a season of spiritual dryness and lifts you up through his living water and his loving kindness, his gesed and help. That is his grace. That is his mercy. That is his favor towards such one as you are, for Christ's sake. In congregation, do you begin then to see the gripping seriousness of the reality of the verses 9 to 11? But those that seek my soul, and that is not only for the psalmist, maybe in your life as well, enemies. And they are ultimately God's enemies. Those who resist Christ. Those who are their own God. They don't need him. They don't seek him. They don't thirst for him. Well, he in his loving kindness and help reaches out to them. They shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall. And the mouth of them that speak lies, hypocrites. Hypocrites, they shall be stopped. Where are you in life? There are only two kinds of people in this world, in Ontario, in Hamilton. Or you are humble to repentance by his loving kindness and help. And you say, or you sigh by grace, O God, thou art my God. You cannot miss him anymore. And then to experience in his presence is fullness of joy. Joy unspeakable. The psalmist in verse 5, in him there is total satisfaction. It is a feasting. Or you are still your own God and you have no need of him. Friend, if that is you, I urge you This Savior who has given himself freely, turn to him now. Don't delay. Don't despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, his patience with you. Do you not know that the goodness of God, his loving kindness, his help, leads you to repentance? Oh, congregation, that together that we may learn more and experience his loving and kind grace. As Bonar once wrote, not what I am, O Lord, but what thou art. That alone can my soul true rest. Thy love, not mine, bids fear and doubt depart and stills the tossed and tempest heart. O God, thou art my God. And therefore will the Lord cast off forever? No. Does his promise fail forevermore? Never. Has God forgotten to be gracious? Congregation, he is more than gracious. Because of his loving kindness, and therefore, even in the wilderness, my lips shall praise thee. Because thou hast been my help, and therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, in his protection, will I rejoice. And that is here in the beginning, and sometimes with faltering words, but then forever. Then shall my soul be satisfied, and my mouth shall praise, proclaim forever and ever and ever. Oh, pray that none of us will be missed. Parents, pray for your children. And if your children are not in church, continue to pray. Don't give up. That none of us will be missed because of his loving kindness and because of his help. Amen.